Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Japan is raising its coronavirus alert level for Tokyo to deal with surging infections just 3 months before the Olympics are supposed to begin. The urgency in Japan coincides with spiking COVID-19 cases in another Asian country, South Korea. That's where NPR's Anthony Kuhn is. But Anthony, let's start with the situation in Japan. Why is COVID-19 surging there?
Well, as in many other countries, people here are exhausted. They're not following the rules too closely, and cases spike as soon as restrictions are eased. And the first places to see a surge were the first places to ease restrictions in early March after the third wave. The first place that really started was Osaka, and they had to cancel their leg of the Olympic torch relay because of the jump in cases. Tokyo eased restrictions later, and cases surged there, too. But, you know, it's so fast. It's only 3 weeks since they eased restrictions. And many experts argued that this would happen. Now they're predicting a fourth wave, even a fifth wave, which could even be in progress at the same time as the Olympics.
I see. And now we could go backwards to tougher restrictions. That's what raising the alert level in Tokyo allows officials to do. In practical terms, Anthony, what does that mean for people there?
Well, it means in Tokyo and as well as Kyoto and Okinawa, restaurants and bars in the most densely populated areas of town will have to close by 8 p.m. If they do that, they will get compensation. If they don't, they will get fined, and that's going to last about a month. What they did not want to do this time was impose another formal state of emergency, which would cover an entire prefecture, which is like a state. So this time it's targeted at specific cities, and they're calling it sort of a quasi-emergency. Osaka and some other prefectures went under these measures Monday, and they have in Osaka patrols going around to bars and restaurants enforcing them. But experts admit it's far from clear that these quasi-emergencies will really do the trick.
And of course, one of the big factors here is that the vaccine rollout in Japan has been rather slow. In fact, we're reading that only about 1% of the Japanese population has been vaccinated. Why the holdup there, Anthony?
Yeah, that 1% are people who have gotten at least one dose, but fully vaccinated people account for 0.1%. One of the reasons they're having problems is vaccine scares. For example, in the 1990s, they had side effects and deaths associated with the mumps, measles, and rubella vaccine. There was a class action lawsuit. The government lost. And after that, they stopped making childhood immunizations mandatory. They only recommended them. So critics say this has contributed to a low level of trust towards new vaccines.
So that's the situation in Japan. But meanwhile, Anthony, you're in South Korea, which earlier this week reported the highest daily new infection total in 3 months. What's going on there, and how is the pandemic affecting life at this moment in South Korea?
Well, South Korea is also on the brink of a fourth wave, but they got their third wave under control 3.5 months ago. But they couldn't get the case numbers down very far. They kept hovering. There's a lot of undetected community transmission going on. So now they have to extend social distancing and a ban on gatherings of 5 people or more for an additional 3 weeks. And as in Japan, they're trying to sort of calibrate things instead of an across-the-board tightening. And so they have very detailed requirements like a ban on handing out food samples at supermarkets. But again, people aren't sure that these will work.
That's NPR's Anthony Kuhn in Seoul with the latest on the pandemic in South Korea and also Japan. Anthony, thank you.
Thank you, Callum.